Hello. I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. My name is Tom Cooper, and I'm really glad you've joined me for today's lesson. Today, we're talking about how to resolve conflict. Lead Yourself First is designed to be your personal growth program. My mentor, John Maxwell, says, if you work with people, you're going to have conflict, and people are messy. Lead Yourself First is your system to help you develop the kinds of skills you need to be effective today and every day. Where you have people, you definitely have problems. And if you have the people skills to work through conflicts, you're going to find yourself in a position to do more and to grow more and accomplish more than other people do. Now, when I was working professionally, I discovered there was more to success than just being good at my day-to-day job. And I did get upset when there were people who achieved more than I did because I thought I was better than them. I had some skills, but I didn't have the right kinds of skills. I was technically capable, but I didn't have the people skills that I needed. And it was a big, big day in my professional life when I realized that I could learn those skills that I didn't have, that these tools are available to everybody. We can all get better at leadership and influence and getting things done with other people and through other people, and you can learn those skills too. Now, we're getting ready to jump in. My question for you today and for each lesson is, how are you going to act? What will you do with this after this lesson's over? I want you to think about apply, change, and teach, act. What's something you can use from our lesson today? My goal for you is, as we're going through this, I want you to think about what you can do to make this work. And something you might change. I've done it this way before. I'm going to try this new thing based on this lesson with Tom. And teach. I don't mean get on a call like this. I mean share an idea with somebody you know. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your kid. Maybe it's your coworker. Whoever it is, say, hey, I was listening to this message today, and I heard this, and it was interesting to me. Just do that. Now, as we're getting ready to jump in here, I wanted to tell you, I've been looking forward to the lesson that we're having today. I look forward to it because John Maxwell is exactly right. Where you have people, you do have problems. And the good news is that these problems are solvable. Now, over the next few minutes, I'm going to be sharing with you some gold. I'm telling you, this is super productive information. If you will take this information and start to put any of it into practice, you're going to be able to solve conflicts in a way that other people simply cannot. And you're going to be resolving conflict not in a win-lose kind of way, but in a win-win kind of way that really grows your team's performance. If you take just one idea from today's lesson and apply it, you're going to have shorter conflicts, you're going to have fewer conflicts, and you're going to have better outcomes. Now, I'm also aware that you might want some help working on these skills. And at the end of the lesson, I'll share with you a killer offer about ways you can get something you can do to get more help with this particular thing. Fair enough? Now, I love to debate with people. It is fun for me. I love the exchange of ideas, and even an energetic and loud and passionate interchange is something I can really enjoy as long as it's respectful. Now, for me, what's fun about the debate is the exchange of ideas and the process of fleshing out that intellectual argument. But on my journey, I've learned that not everyone loves conflict. In fact, some people would rather endure lots of physical discomfort than engage in a verbal disagreement. And not only that, but my work with personality assessments like DISC profiles helps me understand there are multiple kinds of responses to conflict, and some lead to good relationships and some lead to really difficult relationships. Now, based on my DISC style, I'm not a huge fan of the conflict itself, but I'm willing to have a tough conversation because at my core, I want to have a good connection, and I will work my way through that tough conversation because I want the goal of the good relationship. Now, there are two key phases to resolving conflicts, and neither of them depends on being able to point your finger at the other person's wrongness. But we're so naturally good at that, aren't we? Fundamentally, we have conflict with other people when what we experience is different from what we expected. Let me say that again. We tend to have conflict with other people when what we experience is different from what we expected. It's those missed expectations that are leading to our disappointment, leading to our frustration. If you and I are working together and you always behave the way I expect, I'm far less likely to get frustrated with you than if you do things differently than I expected you to. And I also want to point out that we like to think of ourselves, all of us like to think of ourselves as nice, reasonable people. But the behavioral science research shows, the data shows us things that might be a little different from the way we would see ourselves. We behave emotionally, not rationally. In fact, we're frequently irrational, darn it. And what we find is that especially in a conflict, our emotional brain hijacks our rational brain, and we find ourselves in the middle of a conflict in a freeze, fight, or flight situation. And none of those options works out well when it comes to human relationships. So, what do we do when we are upset with somebody else? And this is where we get back to that point, that there are two phases to resolving conflict. Phase one, we're going to talk about how we get ready to resolve the conflict, and we'll call that core. And then phase two is the actual conversation we have, and we'll call that XYZ. So we're talking about core and XYZ. Phase one is core, and it's a tool that I learned from Dr. Les Parrott. Dr. Parrott has spent decades doing research and academic studies on conflicts and resolving conflicts with others. And he discovered that preparing properly for the conflict can be extremely helpful. He created this memory tool, CORE, to help us prepare for having a difficult conversation. CORE is an acronym, stands for cooperation, ownership, respect, and empathy. Cooperation, ownership, respect, and empathy. As you're getting ready for a conversation with somebody about a conflict that you've had, you want to think about C, cooperation. Now, what in the world does cooperation have to do with conflict? Well, John Maxwell teaches us that connectors connect on common ground, and the best place to start is a place where we can have some agreement. So think about the areas where you can agree. What is the common ground that you have with the other person? I mean, very few people set out to start a fight with somebody. Most of the time, in fact, the vast majority of the time, nobody wanted to start a fight at the beginning of the conflict. It just happened. Well, you could lead with your intent. Can you come up with a positive outcome that works for both of you? Can you think through ways that you have a shared goal? You might both desire the same outcome, that a problem at work is solved, but you and the other person might just be approaching the problem from different directions. Difference is not wrong, it's just different. Can you agree on the same finish line? The place where you're both satisfied with the outcome? The point here is that the vast majority of conflicts, the big blow-up, doesn't come from whatever your point of view is. It comes from how the other person feels in the situation and how you feel in the situation. And that's why tone of voice, facial expression, and body language are so powerful in that process of causing a conflict and in the process of resolving a conflict, too. Now, it's likely that once you're a little bit distanced from the event in time and space, that you might have an opportunity to begin to think through what this might look. Once you get past that place that sparked that disagreement, you probably can find a path toward an outcome that you both support, and that will allow you to both agree to work toward that outcome. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. I'll give you a specific example. So that's the C, cooperation. Now let's turn to O, ownership. Now this is the step where you are going to decide whose fault the problem is. And that one's easy, right? It's the other guy. But seriously, while the other person is at fault many times, if we're honest with ourselves, we probably played a part in the problem too. In fact, I would go further than that. I would say that 100% of the time, there's a shared responsibility for the conflict. Even if the other guy is responsible for 99% of the problem and you're only responsible for 1%, and I'll be skeptical of your numbers, but let's go with that. even if you only contributed 1% to the problem, it's still 1%, and you need to be 100% responsible for your 1% of that problem. And let me give you an example. When that other person said the thing that got you so fired up, is it possible that you reacted too quickly? Is it possible that you were defensive? Is it possible that there was more than one way to interpret the events and you happened to choose the worst way to interpret them? Is there any way that what you did escalated the problem or made it worse? Years ago, I had a conflict with a boss. He'd gone directly to one of the team members, one of my team members, and he'd assigned work to that person. Naturally, that person felt that the assignment from my boss was more important and higher urgency than I believed it to be. And naturally, that person wanted to please my boss, and so he chose to focus on completing that work rather than the work that I had planned for him to do. From a leadership perspective, my boss should not have skipped me. And part of the issue was that the team had been growing and my boss just wasn't used to having anybody in middle management. And part of the issue was my boss had even been reluctant to have that person report to me directly because he liked having that guy jump when he said jump. And all that was true. And my boss was wrong, so I have no ownership, right? Well, maybe not. Turns out I felt disrespected. I felt like my boss had slighted me and he'd undermined my authority, and this wasn't the first time that he had done that. And I chose to think that he was insensitive to my role and had been intentional about making me look bad with the team. My ego was bruised and I got upset. Now, in those days, my boss was in and out of the office, and I was too. And I chose to confront him about it. We both worked from home from time to time, and we were both out of the office. But I chose to confront him when we were out of the office. And I chose to confront him over the phone rather than wait until I had cooled off and until we were both in the office. In that case, when I was honest with myself, I had to realize that even though my boss was wrong to do what he did, I was wrong to interpret it in the worst possible way. And I'm the one who chose to escalate the dispute. I chose to engage with him over the phone instead of face-to-face, and I chose to get angry with him when he defended himself, and I chose to yell at him. Not a good choice. I'm sharing this story in the hopes that you will learn from my mistakes and not make the same mistakes that I made. When it comes to ownership, I needed to be 100% responsible for the choice that I made about how to respond to what my boss had done. When it came to resolving the problem, I had to own up to the exact things that I did wrong. And we can talk some more about that in just a minute. So we've talked about cooperation, and we've talked about ownership, CO. Now let's talk about R, respect. And this is where we need to see if we can find a way to be respectful as we discuss the problem. Normal people don't start out with a goal of hurting other people. Almost every conflict we have with a healthy relationship is accidental, because most of us are just a little bit selfish, and we just don't think so much about you. So we have to think about how we can communicate in a respectful way. And we really don't, you know, we're pretty complex, and often we don't know why we did or said that thing. There's really no way for us to know for certain the motivation that the other person had. And it's usually not helpful for us to assume that their intent was negative. The best way to figure out respectful communication is to keep the focus on the behavior, not the motivation or the intent. We also want to be careful not to talk about their character. We want to focus on the behavior. And we'll cover that specifically in the XYZ section here in just a minute. All right, so that's cooperation, ownership, and respect. Now let's talk about the E in CORE, empathy. Empathy is where you put yourself in the other guy's shoes. You try to feel what they're feeling. You want to understand where they're coming from. And your goal here is thinking about how objective can you be? Do you think they started out with the intent to hurt you, or was there some other thing that they might have done? Is there any possible way they could have been intending to do the right thing and they accidentally offended you? You know, we tend to think of ourselves often, but the fact is others don't think of us that often. Dr. Phil McGraw said, you wouldn't be so concerned about what other people think about you if you knew how rarely they do. going back to that conflict with my boss, he was an action-focused guy. He was used to going directly to the people and telling them what he wanted. That had been his pattern for a long time, and habits are hard to break. I doubt it entered his mind that he ought to think about being supportive of my role as a middle leader. He just wanted a job done. Understanding his perspective, or even speculating positively about his perspective, giving him the benefit of the doubt, is usually very, very helpful when we're trying to resolve conflict. So that's phase one, core, cooperation, ownership, respect, and empathy. Now, let's talk about phase two, engagement with the other person. This is where we're actually going to have the conversation. We take the opportunity during phase one to think about what it is we want to accomplish and think about how we can position our communication in a positive way. Now, when we get ready to have the conversation, that's challenging. People are messy. We have to keep this part of the process simple because our emotions can run away with us, and we just don't want to have that happen. And because our emotions can run away with us, we have to have a tool that makes it easy to stay on track. And my favorite tool is XYZ, the XYZ principle. It's the formula that you can use. You won't forget it, and if you stick to it, you're going to win. So here's how it works. XYZ. In situation X, when you did Y, it had Z impact. XYZ. In situation X, when you did Y, it had Z impact. Let me walk through an example. Let's say that you're in a meeting and the boss asked for your suggestions, and you got a peer who's sitting there and he's looking at his phone. And while you're talking, he looks up at you and then he starts making faces, disapproving faces. Eventually, he folds his arms and he rolls his eyes and he sighs. And then he looks away. Can you imagine any more disrespectful behavior than this? Finally, he picks up his phone and he just fiddles with his phone for the rest of the meeting. And now worse than being disrespected in public is that your boss seems to be taking his cue from the team member. And your boss's reaction to your great idea, at best, it's lukewarm. And now the thing that's super frustrating for you is you know this is a really good idea. You know it's going to work. It represents some of your best thinking on the problem. And in fact, just the other day, you mentioned it to this team member who's being so disrespectful right now, and he responded positively. Why in the world would this guy do something like that? You feel like he yanked the rug out from under you, and you are so angry that he was disrespectful, even contemptuous towards you. Why was he being such a jerk? Now, this is one of those moments when your emotional brain can hijack you right into freeze, fight, or flight. But rather than decide to respond in the heat of the moment, you choose to take the two-phase approach. So you get some distance physically and time-wise from the experience, and you start thinking about core. Cooperation. What could you do? What could your goal be? How could you cooperate with this jerk? How could you both agree on a direction you need to go? Well, maybe it could be really, really basic. Maybe your goal could be that you want to have a good working relationship with this peer and you want to work through the conflict. That could be the cooperation. It's as simple as that. It doesn't have to be complex. Now, let's talk about ownership. This one's a little unclear. You really don't know what was happening with that team member other than what you observed. What part did you play in this conflict? Well, one possibility is that your interpretation of the behavior you saw affected what you perceived, and it affected how you responded. Maybe you were seeing something that wasn't there. Maybe there was more to it than that, and this might be your part of the problem. Maybe your part of the problem is just your reaction to what happened. So now we go from cooperation and ownership to respect. Now, your reaction was that he was being a jerk. And I got to tell you, if I was in that situation, and I have been, it definitely has been tempting to think, man, that guy is a jerk. But you don't want a name call. So how do you deal with it? Well, think back on this. What exactly did he do that was so upsetting? Wasn't it the body language? The eye roll, the folded arms, the sigh? How can you, in your communication, rather than conclude that he was being rude or that, oh, you're being disrespectful or you're being a jerk, how can you focus respectfully on the behavior of the other person rather than the character, the motivation, the essence of that person as a person? You focus on the behavior rather than your conclusions about the behavior. All right, cooperation, ownership, and respect. Now let's talk about empathy. What was going on with this other team member? Well, I'm going to submit to you that I don't think we have any idea at all. There's a strong likelihood that we don't know, even if we think we know. He might have physically been in the room, but not actually listening to you at all. We just don't know. So we're kind of stuck on this empathy thing. But again, look for giving the benefit of the doubt. So you've had some time to think about it. You've got the core as much as you can. You've got that laid out. Now let's talk about phase two, XYZ. First, pick a time that can work for both of you. Don't do it in public, and don't do it on a short deadline. Hey, we got 2 minutes before the meeting. Let me try and work out this argument with you. Not a good plan, man. You're going to be in trouble. Give yourself time to talk. It doesn't have to be an hour. Maybe 15 minutes on the calendar. Grab a cup of coffee or go get some lunch. Next, do it in a way that can be private to just the two of you in a spot where you're comfortable and can have good interaction. That's going to set you up for more success. If you're feeling time crunched or in a public place or an awkward time, it's just not going to work. It doesn't have to be a big deal. This can be over very quickly and very efficiently. XYZ, in situation X, you did Y, it had Z impact. So what was the situation? It was during the team meeting. Now, this is important. You don't say, you always do this, or you have a tendency to, or people say you blah, 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 blah. Now, in this specific situation, so it was during the team meeting when the boss asked for my ideas about the project. That's situation X. You did Y. You rolled your eyes, you folded your arms, you sighed, you looked away. So then it had Z impact. I felt like our boss rejected my idea because of your reaction, at least in part, and I didn't like it. I didn't like the way I felt. So we'll put X, Y, and Z together now. It might sound something like this. You go see your coworker, we'll call him Joe, and you say, Joe, I want to have a great working relationship with you. See how we laid that out right there? And something happened recently that upset me. Can we talk about it? The other day, when we were in the team meeting, and the boss asked for my input, while I was talking, I noticed that you rolled your eyes, you folded your arms, and you sighed. And man, it just seemed to me like the boss was watching your reaction, and that was helping him be encouraged to shoot down my idea. Now, I'm really confused, and I'm frustrated about it, because I thought you liked my idea when we were talking about it before, and I didn't like the way that worked out, and it felt like you were shooting my ideas down, too. Can you help me understand what happened? Think about how that comes across to the other person. You're not attacking him. You're not criticizing him. And you're saying, you did this thing, and it had this impact. What was going on? And notice that you're asking, can you help me understand what happened? Now, one possibility is he'll say, yeah, that was a stupid idea, and the boss should have hated it. I've actually worked with some engineers who would say that, but I'll tell you, that's pretty unlikely. The more likely outcome is that you're going to have a different conversation altogether. In fact, he might say something like, I don't know what you mean. I didn't mean that towards you. I'm sorry if it came across that way. Now, that might actually be the best you ever get. And if it is, then you're going to have to be willing to accept that. Even if they say something like, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, or I'm sorry if I upset you. Obviously, you're upset, but remember that a lot of people haven't had any guidance about how to resolve conflict since kindergarten, and it's very difficult for all of us to admit when we're wrong. But what if his reaction is different? What if he looks at you and says, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. I did what? Oh. My dad texted me that morning during the meeting. I knew he was waiting to hear from the doctor to get some test results, and he texted me to let me know it was bad news. And gosh, after I got that text from my dad, I wasn't paying attention to anybody. I was looking at my phone, I was looking up options for dad's treatment. I didn't have any idea I was having that impact on you. I'm so sorry. here's my point. You really don't know what's going on inside the other person's head. And even if you think you do, even if you've worked with that guy for a long time, even if you think, I know exactly how that person is, you really, really don't know. All you saw was what happened on the outside and your reaction to what happened on the outside. So we're getting ready to land the plane for this lesson. And let's talk for just a minute about what this lesson covered. You think core, cooperation, ownership of my part of the problem, being respectful, and empathy. And then the XYZ formula. In situation X, you did Y, it had Z impact. So for you, what's the one idea you can apply, change, or teach from today's lesson? Maybe you're with your team as you're listening to this. It's a good time for conversation about conflict resolution within your team. What are you doing that's working well? What are you doing that needs some attention? Now maybe you're in this situation where you've got an ongoing conflict and you're looking for a way to get to the bottom of it. And if that's you, you're going to want to hear this. What would it be like if your troubling conflict was completely solved? What if your relationship with that really difficult person was actually a pleasant relationship, something you didn't dread each time you spoke with them? I feel so strongly about helping people with this particular area that I'm offering my conflict coaching package for just $99. This includes a conflict resolution worksheet and two coaching sessions with me. Imagine getting personalized help strategizing about the root cause of the problem and then help getting ready for that tough conversation. I'll help you break down your core and then help you frame up your XYZ. And I'll help you debrief after the conflict and help you with your go-forward plan. Does that sound useful? Drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com, tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we'll get it set up. Thanks for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.